Welcome to It's the Human Experience Podcast, hosted by Hazel Brown, a healthcare leader, wife, mom, and career coach. If you're big on authenticity, personal development, perseverance, and transparency, you're in the right place. Join Hazel each week as she shares stories and drops some gems or talks to successful professionals and business owners who've agreed to share the parts of success that typically gets X'd out on social media, because that's the part you need to see and hear. The process.
The process.
Go ahead and subscribe. You don't want to miss out on these transparent stories and discussions that reveal highs, lows, aha moments, and nuggets that will help you to grow and glow.
Hey, 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 you are now tuned in to the It's the Human Experience podcast. You are now tuned in to the It's the Human Experience podcast. Don't you just love the sound of that? We're technically all going through the human experience. And so it's amazing that we're able to have these conversations in a raw, transparent, authentic way to where we're pouring and working on filling your cup. If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, scroll on up to the top and make sure that you follow us or subscribe. Depending on what platform you're listening to us from, some will say follow, some will say subscribe. Regardless of which, go ahead and do it. It really helps us with the algorithm and telling Apple, Google, Spotify, all the places, right, that you enjoy the episodes and the topics that we're discussing. So it helps us to get in front of more people. So welcome, welcome. Today we have Jill Wright on the episode. We are going to be talking all things authenticity, motherhood, being a woman and becoming the best version of yourself while you raise those kids, right? Welcome, Jill.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So I don't really skip a beat. We're going to go ahead and jump into the episode. The first thing I wanted to ask you, given we're talking about motherhood and all the things, how would you describe yourself if you had to put it in just three words?
Oh, that's good. I would say patient, honest, and workaholic.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're being real here.
You got it.
I love it. So that patient piece is so necessary when we talk about kids, motherhood, even when you think about marriage, relationships, and all the different hats that you have to wear. You have to learn how to be patient. I must admit that that is not my virtue, and I'm still working on that. But I want to definitely talk a little bit about that workaholic part, because I know for me, I've definitely gone through that piece to where it is so important for me to make sure that I'm using all my gifts and doing all the things. And so you end up really putting yourself in a situation, let's call it that, to where we're really focused on getting all these different things done while following the balance that we need to be patient enough to get us to where we need to be. So how are you handling that? Let's get into that.
Oh, God. Well, balance, first of all, is so much a verb and not a noun. It's always something that I'm conscious of, like having to do, not looking to achieve. So when I can keep that in mind, that helps me a lot, not feel guilty or compare myself to other people, like maybe who I think have it all together, because I know everyone's juggling, you know, all the things. Nobody is actually in balance. So for me, I mean, the workaholic piece is self-induced. I'm one of those who has a really hard time sitting still. I'm never bored. I can always find something to work on, and like, I'm most excited to get up at the crack of dawn and work, but then I crash real early. So I'm working on trying to give myself more space just to be this summer. That's kind of a theme that I'm working on. I know that you had said like sometimes patience is something you're working on. That one I've got down pat right now, but giving myself a bit more space just to be is something I'm really looking forward to working on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that you share that, because I think my takeaways and what you just said, first, what came up for me is that
you're not in a victim mindset to where you feel like, oh my goodness, all these people are doing all these things and I'm not able to do them. You realize that everyone has things to overcome. So I'm applauding you for that. Because once you get to that self-realization and realizing like, hey, I'm not alone in this. Everyone's going through different things. You're able to focus more on your lane and get to where you want to be. So definitely kudos to you for that.
Thank you.
And I think the other thing that I wanted to expand on is something that I had to share with my children this weekend. They were essentially, my husband just got them an iguana. That's what it is. I was trying to think of what it was, right? We had a bearded dragon before that we gave up for adoption. Mm-hmm. And so kind of off subject, but on subject, my son said to us, you know, you guys didn't want the bearded dragon because of the maintenance that went along with the bearded dragon. And now we're getting an iguana. And for us, it makes sense because the iguana does not eat meat. And so in terms of going to the store every day and trying to get it all the things and the smell that comes along with the bearded dragon, that's a whole nother thing from eating those things. It really just, you have to know what makes sense for you as a parent, right? And in terms of upkeeping your children and all the things that you have going on. But in the conversation with them regarding the same subject, they were talking about another pet. And so I share with them, we have to make sure that we get into a space in our lives to where all the things that we're working for, we learn to enjoy those things. We learn to feel fulfilled in whatever it is that we've worked for before we move on to look up and create a new goal. And that's something I had to overcome, but I think it was important for me to share that with them early so that they could understand that goal setting and goal getting is amazing. But if we don't learn to enjoy the things and be happy for the things that we've prayed so much for and worked so hard for, then what is the point of everything? Because if you're not happy in what you have now, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to feel fulfilled in your next goal that you achieve. And so I love that you're in that moment in your life where you're still and enjoying everything that you're working on, being patient, if you will, before you kind of move into what's next for Jill. So I love that.
Yeah, thanks. You're so right. And I think it's such a gift to be able to teach our kids those things young. Because it's all of these things that we're realizing now, especially as people who, like you and I, are into personal growth and development. And we're learning so many things that, can you imagine if we had known these when we were small? Like, game changer. So the fact that we have this opportunity to share with our kids and make it a part of just their psyche from the beginning is such a gift.
Yeah, I almost gave you like the bombastic side eye, but in like a nice way. That's amazing. It's so wonderful to be able to pour into them the things that we're learning now. By the time they're our age, like the evolution and the legacy that we're building just by pouring into our children is amazing. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to shift into defining moments. So when you think back in terms of aha moments that you've had throughout your life, and it could be early on, and then we could lead into aha moments later on in your life. But what kind of shaped you into understanding like what next steps looked like for you in your life, things that you were not going to do, or things that was definitely going to be a part of what Jill had going on in her life?
That's so loaded. I mean, one thing that I'll say that I really remember clearly learning in my life that shaped me was that not everyone is going to like me, because for the majority of my life as a young kid, I was a people pleaser. I wanted everyone to like me. I always took the role of like peacekeeper, and I wanted to be nice and outgoing and kind and polite and all the things that would make people like me. And I came across people who just didn't like that type of person. And I was like, oh, at first I took it really personally. Like, how could I be more nice, you know? But they weren't into the like gushy, nice thing, right? Not everybody is. And so it was really like, oh, you can't actually make everyone like you. So you need to just be you, you know? So that was really cool for me to learn. And then I think another big defining moment that I'll speak to is with regards to my career, and really owning the fact that I'm not built for the 9-to-5 type of jam. I'm really entrepreneurial. I have this need for autonomy and freedom over the work that I do, who I work with, the type of work, when, where, how I work, you know. And so I'm currently kind of in this transition out of being in a box into working for my own self full time. And it's taken many years, and I think it'll still be a little bit of time before I can fully achieve that. But the moment I realized, like, you're just not built for this, was really empowering and freeing, because I was like, oh, that's why it's feeling hard. You know, like, it's just not in alignment with my energy, with my purpose, with what my essence is. It doesn't fit into this. And again, realizing, listening to that sort of narrative of growing up the way that we did, like, you go to college, you get a job, that's what you do. There wasn't really anyone modeling an example differently for me in my life. And so it wasn't even a consideration that I could do something differently, or that I should maybe think about, did I want to do something differently? So that was really cool to sort of take full control over the work that I want to put into the world in a way that makes sense for me.
Yeah. I love that. And I am definitely the queen for loaded questions. I'm trying to stimulate every thought in your mind as you answer. And so I think that what comes up for me is just that gem that you dropped in terms of your earlier Jill, in realizing that you're not going to appease everyone. And that is so important for us all to realize. Something that I teach my kids, and I'm sure you do as well, is that whether you're yourself or you're not going to please everyone. Yeah. So what better way to make sure that you're showing up than yourself? Because it's okay if you don't like me and I'm showing up for me, but it's a problem if I pretended to be someone else and you don't like them. And I'm like, wait, 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 but this is actually me. And then that's a whole problem.
Yes, absolutely. And if we don't learn that, like, I was very fortunate to have that realization young, but my clients are moms who are still trying to realize that, or, like, it's mind blowing for them in their 20s and their 30s. And they're like, oh, you mean I get to be me? Like, yes, you're required to be you. That is the whole point of you being here, right? It's so cool when people get like that aha. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I think we should sit in that a little bit, because I think when we think about motherhood and you think about being a wife and wearing all the hats, so many times we think we have to wear hats in terms of, like, masks. And as a mother, you have to stand up and just be the perfect role model and the perfect person and showing them the way. But in reality, you're trying to figure things out for yourself as well. And then being a wife, you're trying to be the kind of wife that is just so heroic and just so stoic and so perfect. And in that, you're losing yourself day by day, and you don't like showing up as who you're acting to be, because that's who you think you're supposed to be based on how society has shared that a woman is supposed to be there for their spouse and a mother is supposed to make sure that they're in tune with everything going on with their kids, when in everything that you're doing, you're losing who you are as a person. So how can you truly pour when you don't even have anything in your cup, and what you have in your cup doesn't truly belong to you? So I love that you share that, because that's what I felt in everything that you were sharing, that we need to really move away when we think about society having us in this box, and coming out of that and standing in your truth in terms of who you are, because then now your kids can actually stand in their truth and be their self, because they see mom being authentic and saying, you know, today's not a good day for me, guys. I'm going to do the best that I can today, but this is what's going on, because they can see it. And when we mask our true selves in terms of trying to be so perfect, they're more so looking like, what's her problem? Is she okay? This is not mom. And they have no understanding that I'm human just like you. And so I love that authenticity piece and just, like, motherhood and being a wife and all the things.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to share a really quick story with you, because it made me smile, and I think it lends itself well. I often will apologize to my kids if I lose it, or if I'm just not having a good day or whatever, right? Like, I'm really honest with them. Like you said, just like, mom's having a rough day today or whatever. Like, I'm sorry I yelled or lost my temper or whatever. And my daughter the other day, I was driving her to daycare, and just out of the blue, it was just her and I. And she says to me, she's three, by the way. She goes, Mom, I'm sorry that I had a hard time yesterday. I think that was difficult for you. I was like, yeah, baby, it was, but like, it's okay. You know, like for her to recognize that, like, we all have bad days and that it's okay to admit to it. And like, we are safe here. It felt really cool for me to be like, yes, she had that model and now she's got that skill and you can see it, right? So cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Self-awareness at 3. Oh yeah. My goodness. I love it.
Watch out, world. Like, she's a force, I'll tell you.
Nice. Oh my God. So many things come up. But what I'll move into is, as you're thinking about like the evolved version of Jill, like, what are your daily habits to get you in the motion to be able to authentically show up as yourself when you're wearing all the hats?
Yeah. So if I'm thinking like fully embodied, right, what I would love to be able to be doing, for sure, it's taking time for rest. For me, I've known for a long time that that's how I rejuvenate myself. It's quiet time, whether it's actual sleep, which I need a lot of, or whether it's just time away from anyone or anything, like nobody touching me, nobody talking to me. That's super important to me. So I would say a big piece of that looks like me having time for myself, quiet, probably sleeping. Another big piece of that in my daily is finding time to be able to nurture my interests, because that's for me what fills my cup. It probably looks to other people like work, but watching webinars and listening to audiobooks and participating in group things, and that for me is what keeps my creativity going, and that fuels me into be able to do all the things that I need to do from a place of having a full cup, but also feeling like I've got something for me in the day, right? Like you had said, with as a mom, as a wife, as an employee, as a daughter, all the things that we are, so easy to lose your day without ever having taken time to do something intentional just for you. So that is a big piece of like the fullest version of me takes time to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. It kind of brings me back to episode 4. I talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And in terms of as a mom, a wife, and as a person, finding out what your self-actualization looks for you and realizing that, to your point, there are different things that you're going to need to feel fulfilled as Jill and all of the listeners, right? There are things that they need to fill their cup. And so going through and really figuring out what that looks like for you, so that you can show up on a day-to-day basis as your best self.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool too, to understand that hierarchy, in that I was in a place, let's say last year or the year before, where I wasn't having my sort of like love and relationship needs met. So I couldn't get to the next level of like self-actualization and creativity, because I didn't have the foundation. I wasn't safe in the lower level of that pyramid. Right. And so now I'm in a place where I'm having that need filled in my relationships. I'm really able to lean into the creativity. So I think it's also important for listeners to understand, like, you need to build from the foundation up, level by level, understanding that even if you really want to be working on the creative stuff right now, even if you've got these passions, if you're not able to work that into your life, you need to take a look lower and see like, okay, where can I stabilize? You know, what do I need to strengthen for myself?
Yeah, I think what comes up for me and just what you shared, really piggybacking off of that, is something early on in my marriage, I had to share with my husband that I felt like I was doing too much in terms of like the cleaning, the cooking, the this, the that, still working a 9-to-5, still being a mom, trying to run a business and all the things. And I said to him, like, I can't come in here every weekend and just clean this house from top to bottom. We got to do such and such. And he said to me, well, you seem like you had it all figured out. You seem like you were fine. Like, when I come in here and I try to do dishes, you come behind me and you're cleaning it up too. So I felt like you wanted to do it. And so sometimes we create the environment for ourselves. So to your point about rebuilding and peeling it back and saying, okay, I might have created the mess, because oftentimes we create our own mess because of society. Let's blame it on society a little bit. They tell us we should do it. We try to do it and it doesn't work. But it's okay to go back and say, this does not feel right. I can't continue on like this. Because I feel like a lot of times what happens when we don't feel fulfilled is we don't take that time to self-reflect and really understand what our triggers are, what's creating more problems for ourselves. So we keep going till we get to a state of burnout, as opposed to just kind of saying, hey, let's start with a basic conversation and saying that this is what I'm feeling right now. I think that if we work on XYZ, depending on who it is that you're talking to, this is what we can come out of that. And whether in that moment the answer would have been, we do it together or we hire help, whatever the case may be, there's a solution to where you don't have to keep going like that. Because if you and your spouse or you and whoever, they're in it together, there's going to be some kind of safe space in terms of like a common ground to be able to move forward intentionally, to be able to get to where you need to be. So I love that you shared that. And I wanted to share what came up for me transparently, because we all go through those moments to where there's something going on within our life balance wheel that's a little bit off. And how do we level set and reset it to where it makes sense for who we are today?
Yeah, absolutely. That's so beautiful to have that vulnerability, to have that conversation, right? And to know what your needs are. It's a skill.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have to do it. We have to show up for ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
We're moms. We have to teach our kids that.
I know. We need to learn to ask for help. That's something moms are so bad at. Across the board, we're bad at it.
We could do a whole episode on that. Mm. Listen, that is definitely something that I have been working on year over year, even in getting help, like as getting a nanny and getting different things over the years to be able to help me out. I still struggle in my business, in my day-to-day life with help. And I think that my best friend has been Instacart and and things like that, to where it's like, okay, I'm getting some help that I need in terms of being able to balance that wheel with time versus money and versus all of our priorities and things when we think about being quote unquote workaholics or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I wanted to ask you, what would you say is your current superpower? And because I asked loaded questions, I want to explain why I say current superpower, because often we'll ask, or you'll hear people ask, if you will, that if you could have any superpower, what would it be? But I like to focus on what superpower you currently have, because I feel like kind of what we talked about earlier in being still with being fulfilled in what you currently have and then moving on to what you'd want more of, we need to spend time in understanding what our current superpowers are, building on that, and then thinking about what else we want. So that's why I asked it that way.
That's fantastic. I love that you're sort of forcing the acknowledgement, right? And saying like, oh yeah, this is something I'm really good at right now. I'm going to just, go with the thing that comes to top of mind, and it's so, you know, makes sense. And that intuition is my superpower right now. And I have really learned to lean into trusting that I can be my own compass and releasing the need to seek validation from others. And that has allowed me so much more personal freedom, and decision-making has been able to like surrender all of this should, could, must do comparison stuff, like listening to my own intuition and really trusting that I know what's best for me has been a game changer, and led to some really cool things. So I would say, yeah, I would say trusting my intuition and leaning into the knowledge that I already have all the answers within me.
Yeah, I love that. I think what comes up for me is just the fact that one, we all have an intuition. And once you get to that point where you're self-aware and you've done the work to be authentic in yourself, then you can trust your intuition. But if you're still worried about people pleasing and trying to show up as the person that everyone wants you to be, then you won't necessarily know that it's your intuition, because you're not in a space to where you know who you are. And so you can't trust yourself if you're not being yourself. So I think that what you shared is like so key, and why this personal growth and personal development is so important. Because once you get to the space where you've done the work, then it's a no-brainer that your intuition is going to be a wonderful superpower if you allow yourself to follow it. Because let's be real, I'm real good when it comes to my intuition too. And then sometimes I'm like, but should I do that? I don't really want to do that, even though I know that's what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you've not only tapped into your intuition, but you trust it and you know that that's the best course to take, based on all of the work that you've done with personal growth and what you've seen it do for you in terms of really guiding you into your next steps.
Yeah, totally. It's one of the things that I teach a lot on is like how to reengage with your intuition. And something I like to remind people when they're first learning how to tap back in is that you don't have to listen to it. Like it's there. You'll learn to trust it. But one way to strengthen it is to realize like, oh, okay, it might tell you something that you don't want to do. You don't have to do it. But like you were saying, it's probably going to be the right thing, but you don't have to when you're just first working that muscle, like just let it talk. But yeah, I've really leaned into just like, okay, this seems wild or I'm not feeling super comfortable with that, but you sit in the discomfort and you get, you know, uncomfortable and amazing things happen.
Awesome. So I like to talk about highs and lows and all the things. So since we're talking about intuitions and just really being able to help the listeners kind of walk through different things that could potentially happen as you're working through personal development, if you don't mind sharing like a point with your intuition where you felt like it told you to do something, but you did something else and how you were very clear in the end that, yes, I should have listened to my intuition.
Yeah, I'll share with you a sort of a really personal story about that. And that's when I knew that my marriage was not in a place that I wanted it to be. I had grown, he had grown, we had grown apart. There was a lot of good stuff, but I just had this knowing that it wasn't right. But I continued having thought about, you know, I went through all the steps, like, oh, do I really think blah, 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 talking to all the people. And I decided like, no, I'm going to stick with this commitment that I've made, blah, blah, keep the family together, et cetera. And it wasn't too long. Like my intuition's not shy to like throw things in my face. You know, if I'm not listening to her, she's like, hello, listen to me better. And so it was a matter of months before I finally was like, okay, like this is not the most comfortable, easy decision. I still love this person. But this is the direction for me. Like I'm hearing so clearly that it is a change is required and it will be okay to take this path. And, it ended up working. I mean, better than I could have ever imagined. You hear people like, I hate it, the conscious uncoupling thing, but that's exactly what happened in my life because I honored the knowing that I had and was able to understand myself and approach the challenging situation in a really open and heartfelt way that I didn't have fear about it because I trusted it and I wasn't hurting anyone else because we were able to have an open conversation, if that makes sense. And clearly that's not going to be the majority of people's experience with intuition. It might not be something quite as dramatic as that, but for me, it just shows so poignantly how if we listen to our intuition, even if it's scary, our whole life can change in a way that is right for us. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I love that. And I appreciate you sharing that transparently. I think that's what the audience needs is to be able to just hear real stories. I think what came up for me is moments where I've had to end friendships because it was no longer serving me. And sometimes that's difficult, right? Because your gut tells you something's off in terms of like your spirit. It's like, this doesn't feel right. It is not supposed to happen like this or whatever the case may be. And you're kind of like, let me see. Let me give them the benefit of the doubt. And you're like, okay, I've given them the benefit of the doubt. It still doesn't feel right, right? And to your point of your intuition is like, I'm going to show you that this is not right for you. I've had a situation where I've had to stop being friends with someone in multiple situations, but in this specific situation, it was very difficult. So I did end the friendship. And then after my mom passed last year, she passed on June 23rd last year, my mom showed up in my dream where that friend came into my dream and I invited them essentially into the house to have them see my mom. And in the dream, my mom is like, clearly my mom's passed, but she's in the dream like, honey, why is she here? And I'm like...
Right.
I woke up and I'm like, okay, clearly I'm not supposed to rekindle this friendship.
Oh, wow.
And so to your point, it shows up in multiple ways in terms of being in tune with who you are to where even when you're second guessing yourself, your intuition's like, let me tap into somebody I know she'll listen to.
Yes. Yes. It's incredible. It's really incredible.
Awesome. All right. So we talked about so many things. I want to make sure that I give you time to share any key takeaways, to share anything that you feel it would be valuable to leave with the audience.
Oh, thanks. I think what feels important to share right now is just understanding that you can take control of your life, even if the external circumstances feel unchangeable. And you can do that by changing your mindset, because everything stems from that. And so a lot of times we feel out of control, out of the driver's seat, sort of reactive to the things, especially with the kids, right? Like, it feels like you're constantly like doing things for them instead of maybe being able to do things in a way that you want, because, you know, there are things that happen in life and you can't control when the dirty diaper explodes, or like if somebody gets sick, or how they're going to react to your parenting style, all these things. But you really do have an opportunity. Each of us has the opportunity to tune into ourselves and reframe the difficult things, reframe the way that we look at some of these challenges, so that even if we can't change our external circumstances, our internal landscape, we can really take care of that. And you'll be amazed once you get a hold of that. And I'm sure, Hazel, you know, because you do the work, right? But for someone maybe just starting out, if you can take that time and spend it with yourself and understand your values and what you want and who you really are, you'll start to see changes that you want in your external world without trying to do it. So it's super cool. So that's something that I've been thinking a lot about personally lately. So thanks for the opportunity to share that. Yeah, somebody today needed to hear that.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. Where can the listeners find you online? You have a podcast, Grow Like a Mother. And every time I think about it, I'm always thinking like it in an interesting way, like grow like a mother effort.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the intention. It's so fun. Yeah, I love podcasting. So obviously, if you're listening to this one, and if you're into podcasts, come join me on Grow Like a Mother. And I'm on the socials, you know, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm trying TikTok, but I feel too old for it. But it's Grow Like a Mother on those platforms as well. Those are the best ways to follow along.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast today. You sharing all the gems and being able to show mothers and wives and people in relationships, working a business and all the hats and all the things, that it is still possible to show up authentically as yourself as you're working to be the best version of yourself. So I love that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's such a gift to be able to chat with you today.
Perfect. Our usual gems were dropped, all the things, but don't leave us yet. Go ahead and leave us a rating. Give us a 5-star rating, right? Make sure you also leave us a comment if you're listening to us on Apple, Audible, wherever. Rate us and leave us a comment. It really helps us to understand what kind of guests you want us to bring in, what kind of topics you want us to discuss. Like, we want to hear your takeaways. We want to hear your thoughts. Don't be shy. We don't bite. If you're selfie ready, take a selfie and tag us at It's the Human Experience on Instagram. I love to hear it. I love to see it keep growing and glowing. Thanks for tuning in to the It's the Human Experience podcast.
We hope you caught all those gems. So here for all of it. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a gem. Write a review so that we know to keep bringing you episodes like this. And check us out online at itsthehumanexperience.com to keep up with us. Keep growing and glowing. Catch you on the next episode.